This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
Yeah, I told you this show is going to go quick. I got less than 2 hours, so let's get back into it. So I read the article with Jazz. I mean, he had two violations there. According to the official Major League Player social media policy, the use of electronics is prohibited during games. The policy also prohibits social media conduct that could be considered displaying or transmitting content that questions the impartiality of or otherwise denigrates a major league umpire. So you're not supposed to be on your phone, and you're damn sure not supposed to say not even close. And we all knew what you were talking about. But Jazz, when asked about it, says, I don't care. He said, I did what I did. I can live up to my responsibilities. It doesn't matter to me. This is not good. This is not good, Jazz. They might have to bench Jazz tomorrow. Today, they might have to bench Jazz. I'm laughing because it's harmless, but I know that, like, it's not like you got to tighten up, bro. You can't. You're struggling right now. And like the last caller said, you're not Aaron Judge. And that's actually funny to say. Aaron Judge never acts out. Aaron Judge rarely even speaks to these umpires. And he gets ridiculous low strike calls down and away over his cleat. Like, and he never says a thing. Imagine if Judge actually got, that's why we need this ABS ASAP. I'm making the shirts ABS ASAP, because as soon as Aaron Judge gets the automatic balls and strikes system, longevity, and he's already not looking like he's slowing down. He's getting better. But like, when he can get those calls back, come on, bro. Judge is going to be dominant for another 5 years. 888-808-1019. So yeah, Jazz says, we're ball players. We're in the heat of the moment. We want to win every at-bat. We want to win every pitch. So when you work that hard and it doesn't go your way and you really think it's a ball, you get fired up, you know. And I'm very passionate about my game. But Jazz, I think what it was a makeup call, right? The pitch before that was close and it was called the ball. You got to chill. He's just got to chill, bro. And I know he's frustrated because he wants to be the man. He wants to be hitting home runs. He wants to do his dance. He wants to do his little Kobe floater at first base. He wants to do the PTSO dance. If you're on my live stream, you can see me doing it. He wants to do the little flick into the bullpen. You'll give the bullpen some love. He wants to do the that way, this way, you know, coming around third base and then do his Euro step and look to the sky. But he's got to think about the team. We need you there on defense. And you're not bigger than the Yankee way. And Aaron Judge is the captain, and he never acts like that. So, I mean, at least he was accountable somewhat. He said, I don't care, but then, you know, he did come around. He said, I lost my emotions. I lost my cool. At the same time, I still got to be able to stay out there and go out there and play defense for my team. That's why I'm here. I got to be better in that aspect. I'm still mad that it was a ball, but definitely mad at myself for losing my cool. So we'll see what happens with Jazz. Anyway, back to you, 888-808-1019. Let's talk Mets, though, too. I'm taking Mets calls. James in Westchester, you got it. You're live.
Yo, Keith, what's up?
You know, rolling. This show will be over quickly.
I wanted to talk about Brett Beatty. These past couple of days, since that interview we did when he talked about how he like couldn't hit and he wasn't seeing the ball, he's raised his average from 111 to like 209. I think it's time Brett Beatty starts getting some playing time at third base. Mark Vientos, DH, Acuna, second base. What do you think?
Maybe. Have we seen that? Has Vientos DH at all this year?
Oh, we saw in the last game in Minnesota, and Beatty hit, I think he was 2-for-4 in that game, which looked pretty good.
What are you just not feeling? Marte and Winker, and if anything, you know what? I was thinking the other day, Nimmo hasn't really been doing much. If anything, you want to put somebody else in the outfield. I know you can't really put like Winker or Marte in the outfield, though. But lineup changes are coming. As you get Alvarez back, as you get McNeil back, these guys, you know, they tinkered with the lineup last year. Lineup changes are coming. Maybe they need to move Soto in the lineup. I know he likes to bat second, but no, you might be on to something where if Beatty is heating up and Vientos just hit a homer tonight, maybe he's unlocked. I don't know. I don't think that they're going to rush to put Vientos at DH. I just said before, like, he's the third baseman. But you want to see Acuna in there too. So these are good problems to have. And then once you get Jeff McNeil back, I think you might see less of Tyrone Taylor. I mean, but Tyrone Taylor's speed tonight came into play on that Lindor hit. I don't know. These are good problems to have. They're a first-place team. They're a game up. They're 12-7, and they're doing it without their full complement of guys. So now that guys like Vientos and Beatty seem like they might be coming along a little bit, if they're coming along and then Soto breaks out, you know, the Mets could go back to hitting, you know, double-digit hits and double-digit runs and not trying to, you know, win these close ones. So I think this is good problems to have, and we're just obviously talking around it. But I think that they need a larger sample size before they decide, all right, we're putting Beatty at third base every day, and we're going to DH Vientos. They're also going to give a nod to the veterans in Marte and Winker. And good, you know, good for a guy like Marte who, Juan Soto's out there in right field, took his spot every day. And we'll see what happens, like I said, when they get reinforcements.
Yeah, I mean, we're just looking until McNeil comes back anyways. You know, I mean, maybe even Louis Angel in center field. I mean, our center fielders haven't been doing anything all year. You know what I'm saying, Keith?
Yeah, you need production out of that spot. And putting Tyrone Taylor out there every single day is not productive. Thanks for the call, James. 888-808-1019. Rolling and going back to the Yankee conversation, David is in Brooklyn. What's up, man?
What's up? How are you? First of all, great win today. Great to see the boys cooking. I just want to go to the Mets side of it. Like, genuine question. You think Juan Soto is actually depressed that he's a Met?
No.
Look at his face. There's like no aura. Zero.
Yeah, but I think that's man versus himself. I don't think it's has anything. This guy hit a home run his first spring training at bat as a Met. This guy was laughing and yucking it up in spring training, smiling. Like, I think it's himself. I think he is battling with himself right now and not playing to the level that he expects. And so that's why he's not swagging the same. He's not shuffling the same. Why, I don't think, as much as he's talked about why he chose the Mets and that it wasn't the money and that it was a family environment and he sees them as a team that's going to win for the next few years, I don't think he regrets leaving the Yankees to be a Met. I think he's just struggling, and he was honest this week about how they're pitching him, and people ran with that. So it's because he's not performing well. He wants to be Pete Alonso. He wants to be the guy coming through. He wants to be the hero, and he hasn't been able to do that.
For sure. Also, just a hot take. I feel like everybody should just like quit whining about him and saying he's a bust or whatever. It's 18 games in the season, and every Mets fan got to like really chill, because we saw with Judge. He's not Judge, but Judge was sleeping the whole last April and last season, the whole April and May. He could still hit 40 bombs and bat 300 at the end of the season. So everybody got to, like, really chill because he's still one of the best players in baseball. So tell those Mets fans, like, chillax. There's like, enough time for him to turn around to get it. It's frustrating. But that's just a side factor. Like, with that, you just see, like, on Twitter, and everybody's going nuts. It's like Juan Soto. We get it. He's still the greatest player. I would still want him on the Yankees. But just the Yankees' point of view, like, you see how Alex Bregman is performing on the Red Sox. He's playing out of his mind.
Yeah.
You think the Yankees are looking back at this, and they're like, wow, okay, we really missed an opportunity to give him, like, a small, like, a third.
Nope. Nope. I know Cashman said that he talked to Boris and he checked on it, but nah, there's just no way in hell they were going to give him $40 million. That's what Judge is making. And they weren't going to put him in the clubhouse with, you know, a guy like Judge, who Altuve stole an MVP from, and everybody saw Cody Bellinger's speech about how the Astros cheated and Altuve stole an MVP, and, like, they weren't going to ever pay Bregman all that money and bring him into that clubhouse, and all the conversation about the Crawford boxes to the Green Monster, and his swing not playing in Yankee Stadium. They were never really interested. They were always going to go this route of, you know, Peraza, Cabrera, DJ, Pablo Reyes, and then maybe make a trade. And, you know, Hal told you, $307, $308 million, I think that's enough. I don't think you got to spend more than that to field a good team. And if they would have added Alex Bregman, they would have been way over that.
Right. Just one more question. Our starting pitching, I see that it's, like, it's settling down and it's getting better. But at the trade deadline, for sure, I think personally, I'm also curious your take, for this team to actually be, like, a real playoff contending team, I get it that we're hot now, we're on a 4-game winning streak. There are some serious, we still need to add some serious arms in the bullpen, and definitely a starting pitcher to fulfill Gerrit Cole's role, because, again, if we want a deep playoff run, we really have to be, we're a fight against any team. The AL is weak right now, but it's in the NL, we really have to be a better, well-rounded team, hitting-wise and pitching, for our run in October. And, like, I'm just curious to see which path do you think the Yankees would take us, assuming after the All-Star break we were playing extremely good like we did last season. We played very good until the All-Star break, and after the All-Star break, when we had Jermai Jones in our lineup and J.D. Davis, and we had that stretch of, like, 2 months of on-and-off baseball, where can you see the Yankees improving and making this team an all-around better team?
Thanks for the call, David. I think you can bank on the mat in another right-handed bat, and you can bank on the mat in another arm, but it depends on what's on the market and who's willing to, you know, do a deal with Cashman. Cashman's not going to get fleeced. He's not going to give up a lot. And right now it seems like they have more than we thought they would have. I was just talking in the chat during the break about how all we heard was what this Yankees offense lost by losing Juan Soto, and how in the aggregate you cannot replace Juan Soto, and how, you know, a Paul Goldschmidt and a Cody Bellinger is not enough. Okay. Well, add a Ben Rice. You know, add the early production that we did see out of Volpe, Wells, and Jazz. They'll come back around. Oswaldo Cabrera. Like, this lineup, Jason Dominguez, this lineup is deeper. And just look at Ben Rice himself. Took the jersey off Soto's back. Ben Rice, his production is replacing Soto's production right now. And I don't think anybody was calling the fan. I don't think anybody was talking and saying that. I see some of these baseball nerds online claiming, like, well, the underlying metrics were plain to see. Anybody that did their research on Ben Rice could see that he had all of the underlining. Like, well, I'm not on Baseball Savant. And I'm not looking at all that ex-WOBA and BABIP and exit velocity and all that. I got diapers to change. I got to sleep. I got to get ready to talk about Aaron Rodgers. I wasn't doing all that. Yeah, I saw someone was like, let's see, you know, the advanced metrics are incredibly accessible, free, and easy to read, easy to apply to player evaluations. Anyone who took the time to read the underlying metrics knew Ben Rice had the tools to be great. Okay, bro. Or just the eye test. We watched him play last year. We watched him be thrown into the fire last year. But no one had Ben Rice being what he is right now. 888-808-1019. Good for us. And shout out to guys like Brian Cashman and the Yankees scouting and developing, and he's 26 years old, you know, because we always hear that the Yankees have nothing in their farm system. They don't develop players. They don't know how to find players and yada, yada, yada. In Bayside, Steve. What's up, Steve?
What's going on? Well, you know, I think the Yankee manager is one of those nerds, too, because I heard him on the postgame today talk about how last year the underlying numbers suggested that he could have and should have been a lot better than the actual production that you saw. So he kind of referred to that stuff. You know, Aaron Boone referred to
great.
That stuff.
Great, yeah. I mean, Aaron Boone is a baseball nerd for sure. Good for us. I just don't think we were expecting to see this out of Ben Rice. It is a pleasant surprise. I hope he continues. I hope he does not fall off.
Well, I think the Yankees definitely believed in him. I think that the reason why you sign a Paul Goldschmidt to a one-year deal is because you thought, now nobody knows for sure until it happens, but you thought that Ben Rice had the potential to be your next first baseman and could be there, obviously, for a long time. So you sign a transitional guy like Paul Goldschmidt. And this stuff about putting Ben Rice at third base, I mean, what are we talking about, people?
Yeah, let's just throw the kid on the hot corner and have him handle that like we threw Jazz there last year.
Well, no, Jazz is a second baseman.
And Jazz could do it. Jazz played shortstop.
Yeah, look, you could put if you play up the middle, you could play anywhere, is the old saying. If you have the skill set to play third and you're getting older, they move you to first base, assuming that you have enough pop to hold, you know, the offensive side of it. But you never see a first baseman come up out of the minors and get moved to third base.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. People are acting like we could just throw him over there like they told Jazz to go over there. No, he profiles as a first baseman. He came up as a catcher. And now I am so impressed with this kid's ability to just lock in for his 5 plate appearances and be a DH.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he doesn't have the agility to be a third baseman, or else they would have played him. You know, the guys that profile as first baseman and catchers are guys that usually are not, you know, they don't have that type of quick twitch ability, stuff like that, to play a corner position like that. It just doesn't happen. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah. Boone has said no. He's not a third baseman. No, he can't play third base.
Yeah, and remember, by the way, I mean, they had a guy a few years ago, Miguel Andujar, who they really couldn't find a position for, and they tried to jam him in at third base, and as good as his bat was at times, you were losing runs with him defensively. So he winds up, you know, you can be a wash as a player very quickly that way if you're that bad, and he was very bad defensively. So, no, you don't want – and plus you have – guys like, pitchers that are ground ball pitchers, you don't want to go there. You just don't want to go there at all.
Yeah, they're not going to. It's just a fan thing. It's, okay, we don't like the rotation between or the platoon situation between Peraza and Cabrera. Why can't we put Ben Rice at third base? He's not a third baseman. They're not going to do that.
It's just that simple. I know that the obvious thing is, oh, Yankees don't have a third baseman, and you got 2 first basemen. Just move one of them over. It's not that simple, folks. It doesn't work like that.
And it's fine by me. I'm Oswaldo Cabrera homer tonight. I am good with where we're at, despite some of the issues with the pitching. This lineup has come through. The bullpen has come through. The Yankees are in first place. They've got 12 wins. Thanks for the call, Steve. 888-808-1019. And we'll go to Frank up in the Bronx next and see what Frank has to say.
Hey, what's going on, my boy? First time caller, man. How you doing, brother?
Appreciate it, bro. I'm good in there, you know?
Hey, man, I love you, man. But, yo, man, your take on Jazz talking about chill out, he should not be chilling out. We need the fire. We need somebody. These baseball players are so robotic. We don't need all this tin hut and just be quiet and just go out there and perform. From time to time, we need these fiery guys.
Oh, I enjoyed it in the moment. I was laughing. I was cracking up. I thought it was hilarious. And I'm very active on Twitter during the game. I tweeted right to him. The tweet that I sent right after had hundreds of likes. Like, I screenshotted. Like, if you go at Keith_McPherson and go back 2 hours ago, I was in it. When I say chill out, that's for his own good with the Yankees. I just know how the Yankees handle their business and how, you know, Judge, carries him. Like, somebody's slapping him on the wrist. Somebody's tightening him up. Like, I understand the passion, and I understand being caught up in the moment. But, like, you know what I'm talking about with the Yankee way and how they conduct their business. And that's going on at George M. Steinbrenner Field, home away from home. Right. Jazz gets tossed like that. Like, he's in trouble right now.
Collar way. Right, right. No, I totally get it, you know. But I think we're in a new age, a new era. I think acquiring Jazz, I do believe them getting Jazz was for that, for his personality, for his fiery way of playing the game, just to bring in some spunk. I love it. I love it. Let him, you know, squabble it out if he has to with these guys. Not, you know, physically, but, you know, if he has to say a couple words to the umpire, it's okay from time to time. Because 98% of the time, these baseball players are all professional, by the book. And from time to time, they get fiery. He is human. I heard his post-game interview. And, you know, I like what he's saying, you know. He's human. Fire it up. You know, that's just his game. And I'm sure Aaron Judge pulled him to the side and maybe gave him a couple words. That's what the captain does. I'm sure that's what happened back there. And, you know, I don't see too much problems with him. You know, I want him to do that.
Let's see, Frank. Like, I joked, like, oh, they might sit him down tomorrow. Hopefully they don't punish him. Hopefully they, he's struggling right now. I think that's the worst thing for him. Like, if they punish him and it becomes a thing, hopefully this is something that blows over and people don't make a big deal out of, and he doesn't really, you know, talk about anymore. The social media thing is where he took it too far. It's one thing to show up the umpire and make a scene. I'm telling you, like, this was instantaneous. Like, I sent out the tweet at 9:25. Mm-hmm. His tweet came out at 9:25. He went right into the clubhouse and hit his phone. You can't do that. Thanks for the call, Frank. You can't do that. Like, you got to. It's a professionalism thing. It's one thing to have a personality. It's another thing to have some flair about you. It's a whole other thing to be a complete hot dog, hit a home run, pose, grab your junk. Like I said, do the Kobe floater, come around the bases, flick the two fingers down to the bullpen, come around, do the fingers this way, fingers that way, Euro step. Like, you attract all of that attention, Jazz. And when you're struggling batting 169, like, there are a ton of Jazz haters. I talked about the other day when Jazz homered back-to-back games. He homered Sunday, he homered Monday. And I'm like, Jazz's slump is over, haters. But, like, there are people I'm sure online talking about, this guy needs to be reprimanded. This guy's out of control. The Yankees are letting him do too much. Well, I think the Yankees, and I think you're right, Frank, when they got him, they let him be himself. And we heard what came out about Miguel Rojas and all this stuff when he was a Marlin. You know, and somebody said something to him about how he acts, and he said, oh, I'm chilling now. I'm a Yankee. Almost in a way saying, like, I'm with the Yankees in there letting me do me, you know? I got this one-piece gear on. I got my Jordan gear on. I got all these different colorways. Like, nobody says anything about my celebration. They're letting him express himself. But there is a line. There is a line of professionalism. And I think he crossed the line with the professionalism because, as I was reading the article, like I said, he violated two things. One, electronic use during gameplay. And two, speaking on a ref and or a ref. Speaking on, I know it's not a ref, but I think this has happened in basketball and football before too. But, like, speaking on an umpire and the umpire's call or judgment, that's two fouls. So, like, they're gonna if they didn't already tighten him up tonight and tell him, hey, never again, they've definitely talked to him about it, and hopefully he tightens up and hopefully he hits. Hopefully he stops striking out and crying. And that's what I'll say about it too. I was watching the game. Like you were, too. I screenshotted the at-bat. There was a called strike, the third pitch of his at-bat, a four-seam fastball, 98.5 miles an hour, middle outside. And then the fifth pitch of the at-bat was damn near the same pitch in the same spot, and it was called a ball, four-seam fastball, 99.2 miles an hour, outside a little bit, the lower third. So then that call, like, he could have struck out then. It didn't happen. He got the ball. The next one was in the dirt. It was egregious. he ends up getting called out on strikes where he should have got the walk, and he flipped out. But it was you could tell the umpire, it was a makeup call for Montgomery, who was pitching. Jazz, just chill, bro. We were up at the time. We were going to win the game. Dave in Brooklyn. What's up, Dave, and everybody in the background? How y'all doing? What's up? You're on the Fan.
Hey, what's going on, Keith? Hey, listen, I understand what you're saying about this particular at-bat, which should have been rung up earlier. I get it. But that doesn't explain why the umpires have missed 650 calls on Aaron Judge since 2017. and you know me, I have not watched three games since 2017. What happened was in 2017, when Judge, became Judge, I was so excited. I hadn't really ordered the MLB thing, but I said, I've got to watch every single game, even though I'm very busy. So I ordered it. And then the first step out, I said, oh no. And right away I knew they can't read his zone. So after that, I have not watched, I don't think I've watched three games, including postseason, since 2017. So, the umpires, I just couldn't do it.
Solely because of that, or are you just not into, modern-day baseball?
No, I love baseball. I love baseball. I love the Yankees. I love them. But when I realized that the umpires were not going to do that, I couldn't watch the game. I couldn't even watch his at-bats anymore.
It is annoying. It is something that makes me want to throw things. I don't know how it's allowed. Yeah. There should have been a memo sent out in 2017. This guy is 6'7". Adjust your strike zone, please.
Right. Well, I heard one umpire at least say when they get those memos, he says he rips it up and throws it in the garbage. I think he said they were getting paper memos out there. He said he would rip them up and throw them in the garbage.
Yeah, because they're above it. And when they're calling the game, it's their way or the highway. It's their rules, and they don't care about anything else.
Yeah, their mentality is we're calling the zone as if you're 6'2". If you're taller or shorter than 6'2", that's your tough luck. And actually, there was an umpire who was I had this on YouTube, and I can't find it anymore. Here he said, we don't even look at height. And I thought, you don't look at height. What is the zone if not dictated by a hitter's height? I mean, the
automatic balls
weight.
And strikes system automatically adjusts for the height of the player. Mm-hmm. So how come they don't have to adjust?
Yeah, because you know what? Listen, I mean, obviously, Keith, it was so frustrating that I missed out on Judge's career. I didn't see the 60-plus homers. I didn't see anything. I didn't watch him. Last year.
I don't know how you did that. You must not. As I say, you must not like baseball, the Yankees, or Judge that much. I haven't missed much of it, and it's frustrating, but not to just completely turn it off.
Yeah, well, you could say that I'm extreme in this sense, but the umpires they made it impossible for me to watch the game because now on the other hand, Soto gets, from what I understand, he gets all the calls in his favor, and that's why he's making the kind of money he's making because if he was getting Judge's calls. It would be a completely different at bat for him every time.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's slightly different. Thank you for the call, Dave. I don't know how anybody could just stop watching baseball unless you're that busy. I always tell people, when I was younger and I was playing football, I missed some games. And, when I went to school in Virginia, there was no Yankee games, and we didn't have streaming and stuff. And even when I was a kid and I used to get shipped to Jacksonville, Florida in the summers, I was watching the Braves. I couldn't watch the Yankees. But I don't know how, I don't know how you could be that pissed off at Judge getting rang up on a low strike over his shoelaces and being like, I'm not going to watch the whole season. I'm about to miss his career. Not me. But it is almost unfair. It's like cheating. It's like cheating the game. You know what I'm saying? It's when you're watching the game, it's super frustrating to see one of the best hitters of all time not get a fair strike zone. And get rung up like that because it's come on, you're almost robbing us of his greatness. He's got to be that great. He's got to beat the pitcher and beat the umpire, and he does. That's the craziest part. A Judge does, and he doesn't make a fuss about it. And that goes back to my point about Jazz. And we'll stop talking about this at this point. 888-808-1019. And I do see some calls about Sam Rosen and the Rangers, and we should give him his flowers and props and talk a little bit about the Rangers. We're gonna take a break, but. Because Judge is the face of the baseball world, captain of Team USA, Captain America, the Yankees captain. And he gets egregious calls all the time, and he just kind of looks away and steps out of the batter's box, steps back, and doesn't make a fuss about it. A guy like Jazz, who is struggling, who in that instance, like I just went through the pitches in that at bat, it was a makeup call because the guy didn't call the last one. Like, Jazz got to, you know, keep it cool. Cooler heads will prevail. But I just hope that it's a one-night thing. I hope that it doesn't carry over. I hope that I know he'll be in the lineup tomorrow. I know they're not going to punish him. The league may investigate and do something. Hopefully they don't punish him where he misses a game or gets suspended. Or if it's a fine, it's a fine, whatever. But hopefully that doesn't affect him, because the Yankees need his glove. They need his athleticism on the base pass, and they need his power. And he's got to change his approach a little bit and stop swinging for the fences all the time and striking out. His average and the amount of strikeouts that he's rang up, it's not a good look. This lineup is much deeper when he is hitting. So 888-808-1019. Like I said, we'll talk a little Sam Rosen, Rangers. Continue to take your calls on the Yankees and the Mets. And by the time we get into the 1 o'clock hour, we're going to play Aaron Rodgers is a Song That Doesn't End. Because I got to speak on it, right? It's my job to give my take on what I thought about it. Is it Woody Johnson? Is it Aaron Glenn? Is it Darren Mooji? Is this real? Is this fake? Was this some type of good cop, bad cop tactic? I don't know. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Lynn likes the open floor, spinning, puts it up and banks it in. Yes. Sensational play for Jeremy Lin.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Insanity continues here in Madison Square Garden.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Okay, New York, call me up at 888-808-1019. We're going to move on a little bit from the Yankees and Ben Rice and Jazz Chisholm and the greatness of Aaron Judge and Ryan Yarbrough and Tim Hill and Ian Hamilton and Devin Williams. And I mean, we haven't really talked about the bullpen that much, but like these guys picked up Will Warren in a big way today. They could not lose that first game. But if you want to still weigh in on anything, you know, Oswaldo Cabrera homer in, Goldie Knox with another two hits, and Ben Arroz just being a legend, a young legend. He's 26, though. He's not as young as some of us think. We could do that. But, you know, speaking of legends, I started the show, and as soon as I thought about it, I'm like, oh, we got to give props to Sam Rosen. Obviously, the season did not go the way that he would want and Rangers fans would want, but I did shout out the Rangers for getting a shutout win for nothing and sending him off with that memory on his last call. Let's go to Bruce in Flushing on The Fan. What's up, Bruce?
Hey, Keith. Sam Rosen, Ben Rice, and the Giants. First on Sam Rosen. You're too young to remember this, but Sam Rosen replaced a very popular broadcaster in Jim Gordon, who did the Rangers play-by-play for 10 years. And when Sam first came on the scene, as a Ranger fan, I was like, well, he's no Jim Gordon. But as the years went by, you grew to appreciate Sam and appreciate his talents. But it was just interesting. I remember how when he first replaced Gordon, a lot of people was not happy because Jim Gordon was a mainstay for many years. He also broadcast the football Giants for many years also.
Happens all the time.
Second point. So if Sam is listening, Sam, it's been a great career. And as a Ranger fan, we will miss you. That's number one. Number two, I'm Ben Rice. Are you aware that he has started 117 games as a catcher in the minor leagues?
I did not know that was the number. Is that number higher than the amount of games he started at first base?
I'm not sure. I just checked on the catchers. It was 117. He started at 121. He played total. I know he caught a lot of games in Double-A and Triple-A when he was down in Scranton. And Double A when he was down there, and Boone had said that he was working him a lot in catching spring training because I think in the back of Boone's mind he sees possibly Rice's position as a second or third catcher on this team.
Yeah, I don't want to say what the Yankees think of him. I'm just, as a fan and observing, I just don't think that the Yankees are going to say, all right, Ben Rice, you know, you're going to catch. And over J.C. Ascara, who's become a big story, and, you know, we know what he had to go through to make it. I don't know if they're going to bump, you know, if Stanton comes back, are they going to bump J.C. Ascara and then say, okay, Ben Rice, you're the backup catcher?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Hey, if they did, I wouldn't be mad about it. I don't know, it seems like something that they wouldn't do, but I don't know what they would do.
On to the Giants. I want to give you my take on the whole Sanders thing. Because really, as many commentators have said, you know, there was a scout in every game he played this year. He had a pro workout. They went to Colorado before. He came to the Giants on a private visit. And my take of this is that Mara told the general manager, hey, You blew with Saquon Barkley. I told you I was going to be mad if he went to the Eagles. And according to Ryan Dunleavy, the difference of signing and not signing Barkley was only $1.5 million. So I think Merritt told him, hey, you, like I said, you blew it on Barkley. You want to, I think the general manager, Sean Shane, wants to draft Carter. But I think Mara told him, you better get a quarterback or else. And that's why I think they did this last workout, because I think the general manager and the coach has to be convinced to say, okay, let's draft Sanders, because we really want Carter. But I think Mara laid it on the line to them is, get me a quarterback one way or another. But if you blow this on Sanders, you're gone.
I think, and this is where I'm at, I think they should trade back. But I was reading an article last night that says it's contentious because they're split. The GM went out and signed Russell Westbrook. Imagine. Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. And then he just told you that puts them in a position where they don't have to draft a quarterback. So I think he wants to draft Abdul Carter. Abdul Carter is on Twitter posting number 56. And this is the second time he's kind of alluded to Lawrence Taylor. Lawrence Taylor's number is retired. But what does that matter, right? That, you know, Malik Nabers is wearing a retired number. It's like Abdul Carter is signaling that he wants to go to the Giants at 3, or maybe he knows that he's talked to them. And I mean, he did eat breakfast with Brian Daboll. It's Carter or Sanders at this point. Now, there's obviously a team picking before them. Are the Browns going to take Carter, or are the Browns going to take Travis Hunter? I think there's people saying that they're going to take Travis Hunter. So we'll see. But I would just trade back. If you're contentious.
You can't pass up on Carter. If Carter's available at 3, you can't trade back.
Why when you went out and got Chauncey Golston this offseason, you already have Kayvon, who you drafted 3 years ago. And last offseason, you went and got Brian Burns. And you already have Dexter Lawrence. Like, you're good up front. You're good up front.
But if you draft Carter, this team has an identity. If you draft Carter, he's going to have, I'm not going to say he's going to be Lawrence Taylor, but he's going to have impact, let's say, Lawrence Taylor a la carte.
But what if he doesn't, right? Because he has had a shoulder injury and a foot problem. Well, what if he's injury prone?
Well, the doctors have to say, hey, medically, he's fit. He's good to go. I mean, if the doctors tell the general manager, I'm not sure, then I can understand that. But if the doctors say he's cleared and he's good to go, I think Carter is the way to go. And because he will make a definite impact on this team, give this team a strong defensive identity. And, you know, you're too young to remember this, but by rights, New Orleans should have drafted Taylor, but they went after the offensive player in George Rogers, and that's how we got Taylor. But you put Carter on this team with the plays they have now, this team is going to have an impact defense, and then maybe you get a quarterback late first round or second round. But you can't pass up on Carter, I don't think.
Yeah, I like the plan. I mean, if he's there at 3, take him. There's too many people saying that Shedeur Sanders doesn't deserve a first-round grade and that there's question marks about him. But I think there's a way for you to trade back, get somebody else's pick, and play the board and take the best player available. You could get another edge rusher, or you could get, I don't know. I just think if they're contentious and they're going back and forth on it, then trade back and don't pick at 3 and see who falls. But, you know, maybe it's Abdul Carter. The guy's putting 56 on Twitter. He posted a picture of Lawrence Taylor. He wants to be a game wrecker like Lawrence Taylor. And I think the Giants have told him, hey, we're interested. You know, Penn State kid. I do think, you know, it's kind of weird because he grew up a Eagles fan. But obviously, once you're coming into the NFL, all that goes away, right? Tiki Barber was a Redskins fan. I can't wait for the draft. It's going to be so dramatic. And Shedeur Sanders would satisfy only a small percentage of Giants fans, I believe. I just think once they got those two veteran quarterbacks, drafting Shedeur Sanders at 3 is pointless. But there are Giants fans that will tell you, we don't have a quarterback of the future. signing these two quarterbacks that we signed is pointless, and not having a young guy in the building that can learn from them and develop. Like, you draft those two guys so that you can draft a young quarterback and not have to worry about forcing him into action.
I agree. And also, I mean, you really trust Russell Wilson?
I don't even think he's going to be healthy. No.
Okay, that's why you draft the impact player, the guy who's going to have an impact on this team, and then you draft a quarterback later on in late first round, early second round. Unless you really, in your heart, believe Sanders is the guy to lead this team for the next 10 years.
Yeah, I don't think that they all are in agreement on that. Thanks for the call, Bruce. 888-808-1019. I mean, now we're into the draft conversation with the Giants. And what a conundrum. I was saying last night, like, these guys shouldn't be drafting if it's this much confusion. It all could have been so simple if you would have just lost to the Colts. You'd be at the top of the draft, and we'd all be already, you know, getting ready for Cam Ward to be here. And I saw the Giants put out a picture 8 hours ago where it said 1 week away. And then the image says, "Why so quiet? What's on your mind?" And it's someone who's thinking about the draft. And if you go through the replies, it's split on what they should be doing. There's people saying, get Carter, but then draft Jalen Milroe later. Trade up and get Cam. No, take Travis Hunter. I just feel like this regime, there's too many cooks in the kitchen. And ultimately, like, we're going to find out real soon. We're going to find out real soon if it's John Mara's influence, if it's Joe Shane's influence. I don't think Brian Daboll really has influence over he's just going to coach.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do
you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But yeah, we'll play, once we get into the 1 o'clock hour, we'll play what Aaron Rodgers had to say about Brian Daboll. Let me keep taking these calls, though. 888-808-1019. My guy Ross in Bergen County on the Fan. What's up, Ross?
Sam, what's up? Keith, my father, how you doing?
Good.
So, today was bittersweet, obviously. It felt like these last couple years, this would be, the inevitable day you'd hang up the headset talking about Sam Rosen, obviously. And, me and my father were kind of talking about, obviously this being the season from hell, and thank God this is over with, talk about the season. Of course, they wrap it up with two wins against the two teams from Florida that knocked them out in the Eastern Conference Finals two out of the last 3 years. But that's neither here nor there. Talking about Sam, we kind of thought of, given the fact that as you saw this team down the stretch, you realized they were going absolutely nowhere. Even if they did sneak into the playoffs, they were winning nothing. I think kind of the one win you could take away from this is the fact that since they were knocked out, that's the fact that Sam's final game had a chance to be on a win. Now, obviously, if they won that playoff series, who knows, but odds are they weren't going to beat Washington or Toronto or whoever. But the fact that there was a good possibility, had the season been over with them being eliminated, his career could end on a win, and they did just that, a shutout no less. The fact that Kreider and Mika, obviously had the down years, but the two longest tenured Rangers, Kreider obviously up in the air sounding like it'll wind up being his last game as a Ranger as well, which is also bittersweet. But talking about Sam Morsa, 40 years, and I was just kind of, going down a rabbit hole of all his calls and everything, all the memories. They had like a special salute to Sam on MSG Network. He was talking to JD and Joe Micheletti, two of the three guys he had throughout those 40 years. He started off with Phil Esposito, but that was like a 2-3 year stint. But it was really JD, who obviously called the cup run with, and then Joe Micheletti these last 20 or so years, who's really who I grew up on, was those two. So, kind of to go through the, all the stories of his career and everything. Like, there was one story I came across during the cup parade. They wanted him and John Davidson in the studio as kind of like a perspective, and they thought they were going to miss out on the parade, but during the studio show, they had two NYC cops come in and surprise them and bring them over to the parade. So they got to celebrate with, Al Troutwig, who, the late great Al Troutwig, we also lost this year, but they got to celebrate with everybody else. So there's kind of those fun stories mixed in, and just overall, not only here, but the whole league. You ask other fan bases, they resonate Sam Rosen with New York Ranger hockey and just some of the most historic moments the sport has seen in recent years. So the fact that he got to end it on a win, a shutout win, was kind of a really nice moment to cap off an otherwise terrible year. But I'm glad he got to go out on a high note. And, I wish him nothing but the best in retirement, man.
Thanks for the call, Ross. I appreciate it. Honestly, I'm not a Rangers fan. I obviously know Sam Rosen. I haven't heard him as much as some of you guys, but I did want a couple people to at least call to give him his flowers and honor him, and I started the show tonight because, from my perspective as a sports fan and someone who has gotten into the media and radio, and I'm only in my fourth year, but like when you see these guys put together 40 years, when you see like we just, I saw John Sterling hang it up. There are other guys out here that will not be around that much longer either. Rest in peace to Al Troutwig. I feel like there was somebody else in New York sports recently that either bowed out or we're still getting to hear Howie Rose. Howie Rose just celebrated a milestone last year. These voices of our teams and of our sports, these guys that have been the soundtrack to so many moments. It's crazy to think about the longevity. It's crazy to think about how hard it is to even get those jobs and be so consistent for so many years. It's a dream. And, you just got to give these guys their flowers because there's a ton of work. There's a ton of prep. There's a ton of sacrifice that goes into being that person. And I can only imagine, they talk about players, and when players retire, how hard it is for them to walk away from the sport after 10 years, 20 years. Like, imagine being the voice of the Rangers for that many decades, and then now it's just done. Even, like, you know, John Sterling. Like, Susan Waldman. Shout out to Susan, still doing it. You know, we had the call from Bruce where he was talking about, you know, when Sam first came in, you know, people didn't like it. I'm like, that's what happens all the time. There were some people critical of Dave Sims coming in after John Sterling. Dave has been great. There were some people critical of Keith McPherson coming in. Ah, there still are. There's people like, this guy sucks. Every day, like, Keith is a loser. Oh, my. He's unlistenable. Yo, nobody likes his show. Check the ratings. I'm like, yo, you guys got to give me a break. And we got a break. So, 888-808-1019. Yankee fans that are on the line, we will get to you. And in this next hour, we will play Aaron Rodgers is the Song That Doesn't End. And I'll give you my thoughts on what went down at One Jets Drive with Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Glenn, Darren Mugi, and somewhere Woody Johnson was lurking and waiting for the update. So, yeah, break, and we'll get an update. Don't go anywhere. 1 hour left. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'm coming right back.